وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله. We have the class from the book كتاب بلوغ المرام للحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى، باب 16، باب صلاة الاستسقاء. We're still in chapter 16, prayer for rain. Prayer for rain. إن شاء الله. We're starting from hadith 410. 410. وعنه أي وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أصابنا ونحن مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مطر، قال: فحشر ثوبه حتى أصابه من المطر، وقال: إنه حديث عهد بربه. رواه مسلم. نارل أنس، may Allah be pleased with him. Rain fell upon us while we were with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He opened his garment till some of the rain fell upon him. He then said, it has only recently been created by his Rabb. It has only recently been created by his Rabb. Reported by Imam Muslim. In this hadith, that when the rain comes to expose a part of your body to it, so the rain touches it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened his garment till some of the rain fell upon him. So the rain fell upon your skin. Then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and we should say the same, innahu hadithu ahdin bi rabbihi. Innahu hadithu ahdin bi rabbihi. It has only recently been created by his Rabb. It has only recently been created by his Rabb. So that the rain is new from Allah Azza wa Jal. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Also in the hadith, that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who bring rain, not saints or Jesus or anyone else. But it is Allah Azza wa Jal who bring rain. Some people may ask for rain and rain come, and they think other than Allah brought the rain. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought the rain. And it's Allah who created the rain at that time. It's not something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Azza wa Jal made it like it's something automatic, as some of the ignorant people saying everything is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, program everything and it happened. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who make it happen, created anything being created at the beginning, every time. Something new. إِنَّهُ حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِرَبِّهِ. Now is when Allah created it. That rain. Yes, your heart is beating. It is now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is causing your heart to beat. And the like, everything. إِنَّهُ حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِرَبِّهِ. In the next hadith, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا رأى المطر قال: اللهم صيبا نافعا. اللهم صيبا نافعا. نارل عائشة رضي الله عنها. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw rain, he said, he used to say, oh Allah, means send down a beneficial downpour. Oh Allah, a beneficial downpour. اللهم صيبا نافعا. أخرجاه. Collected by Bukhari and Muslim. So this is the sunnah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings rain and you see the rain, we should make this dua. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Do you want to memorize this hadith and never forget it, apply it. Many times we learn the hadith, we learn, and we forget it. Sometimes we don't even remember, did we ever hear this hadith? While in reality we hear it. But what happened is we didn't apply it, so we forget it. That's the best way to learn and to keep the knowledge. So when you hear the knowledge, you apply it, you act according to it. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that he used to act according to every hadith he come to know. In a way, one day he came to know the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ went to the barber, he cut his hair, and the Prophet ﷺ gave the barber man, he gave him some money. Imam Ahmad didn't have money at the time. They said he rented, he lended the money. He borrowed the money to apply that hadith. So when we see rain, we say Allahumma sayyiban nafi'an. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'an. Oh Allah, means send down a beneficial downpour. وعن سعد بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعا في الاستسقاء. اللهم جللنا سحابا كثيفا قصيفا دلوقا ضحوكا تمطرنا منه رذاذا قطقطا سحلا. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. رواه أبو عوانة في صحيحه. هذا حديث واهن جدا واهن جدا، ليس بصحيح، لم يثبت. نارل سعد رضي الله عنه، the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم supplicate means Allah for rain, saying, oh Allah, cover all the land with accumulated thundering, clanging, and lightning clouds from which you would send us down a showery, drizzly, and pouring rain. O possessor of glory and honor, reported by Abu Awana in his Sahih. This is not authentic hadith, is very weak. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال خرج سلمان عليه السلام يستسقي فرأى نملة مستلقية على ظهرها رافعة قوائمها إلى السماء تقول اللهم إنا خلق من خلقك ليس بنا غنى عن سقياك فقال ارجعوا فقد سقيتم بدعوة غيركم رواه أحمد وصححه الحاكم نار أبو هريرة May Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sulaiman, Prophet Sulaiman, went out to pray for rain. And he saw an ant laying on its back, raising its legs to the sky, saying, oh Allah, we are creatures among your creation. Oh Allah, we are creatures among your creatures. We cannot live without your water. He said, and his Prophet Sulaiman said to his companion, go back, for you have been given water through the supplication of others. Go back, for you have been given water through the supplication of others. Reported by Ahmad and al-Hakim, graded it sahih, and it's authentic. So in this hadith, Prophet Sulaiman, who we know, used to understand the birds, the ant. As Allah mentioned in Surah An-Naml, when the ant saw Prophet Sulaiman with his arm, he talked to his group and tell them, hide yourself from Sulaiman and his arm, lest they crush you, smash you while they don't know it. قالت نملة يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. She said that to the rest of the ant. Prophet Sulaiman, he hear and he understand. فتبسم ضاحكا من قولها. He smiled and laughed because of her statement, because of her sayings. So in this hadith that Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam went out to make dua, Allah to bring rain. But he saw an ant laying her back on the ground and laying on its back and raising its legs to the sky saying, oh Allah, we are creatures among your creatures. We cannot live without your rain. Then Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go back. He said to the people, go back. You have been rained by the supplication of others. Yes. So the ant speaks, has a language. as Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi used to understand, the ant and the other creation who are in need of water, and Allah created everything from water, they ask for rain, Allah Azza wa Jal, not for saints or Jesus or anyone else. They ask Allah, the creator of the rain. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استسقى فأشار بظهر كفيه إلى السماء. أخرجه مسلم. Narrated Anas رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed for rain, pointing the back of his palm to the sky. Pointing the back of his palm to the sky, making dua in this way, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The palm facing, yes, to the ground, and the back facing the sky. He make dua in that way, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The religious scholars say that if a supplication is to be made to invoke Allah's blessing, one should raise his hands in the usual way, palms facing the praying person. Palms facing the praying person, this way. If the same done to ward off an evil, the situation of hands should be reversed. Means raise your hands with palms facing out. It is meant as a sign that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala effect a change in the situation. The same applies to turning the cloak inside out, the imamah inside out. Likewise, the gesture of keeping one's palm facing outwards denotes and highlights the good omen. That may Allah put the clouds lower in its being filled with water. Al-Muin. So when making dua for the sisqa, it is legislated to make dua that way. Making, yes. I really don't know if it's close to the chest or far. I don't know. This hadith says that استسقى فأشار بظهر كفيه إلى السماء. Usually, the hand is not, it's that way. The ulama, they say when someone making dua, he making his dua. And so, طيب. You review the chapter of istisqa, the kutub al-mutawwalat, they bring usually how the Bab al-Libas, chapter 17, the manners of clothing. Now the manners of clothing, what type of clothes you should wear, what you shouldn't wear, and the like. Hadith 415 عن أبي عامر الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يكونن من أمتي أقوام يستحلون الخز والحرير سيكونن من أمتي أقوام يستحلون الخز والحرير رواه أبو داود وأصله في البخاري. ناري أبو عامر الأشعري may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there will be among my followers some people who will consider adultery والعياذ بالله and the use of silk lawful, reported by Abu Dawud, and it is basic meaning is in Al-Bukhari. In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad mentioned something didn't happen his time, but will happen after him, which is that there will be from Muslims those who consider the adultery, the zina, and the harir, the man using the silk cloth, lawful. Yes, don't you now see a youth, he's saying he has a girlfriend, she has a boyfriend. This is zina. That is zina. There's no Islam boyfriend, girlfriend. Wal-iyad billah. How many people have boyfriend, girlfriend, they commit zina, the big one. Some of them, the beginning, they didn't intend. They didn't plan. But wal-iyad billah, they corrupted their life. Women become pregnant of one zina, and the man doing all that corruption because they make first these things lawful. Worse than that, like those women who married a Christian and the Jewish and idol worshippers, And they say that this is a marriage. A believing woman cannot marry a non-Muslim. She's not allowed. لَا هُنَّ حِلُّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُمْ. Any believing woman cannot marry a disbeliever. If she does that, it's not considered marriage. It's considered zina. And even it's worse than zina because it's being considered marriage. So someone will عياذ بالله who commits zina, knowing he is sinful, has less problem, less sin than this woman who having relation with that guy, a disbeliever, considering him that he is her husband. لا يجوز. So they make it lawful. والعياذ بالله. Many women, they may be in the masjid, some of them. I mean, some of the other masajids. Yes. And yes. نعم. Not this one. Alhamdulillah. Hopefully, inshallah. Not this one. I don't know it either. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But yes. Yes. It become a part of their life. One of the brothers was telling me that the children, he teach some of them, their parents, the mothers, have kuffar husbands. Tell them, nothing change. Heedless. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So they make it lawful. صَدَّقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Prophet says, tell the truth. صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُ عَلَيْهِ. وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نشرب في آنية الذهب والفضة وأن نأكل فيها وعن لبس الحرير والديباج. Just today one brother asked me a question, the ruling of a cousins who reached the age of puberty, lady and a boy who are playing together, they touching one another. He asked him, what's the ruling of that? Subhanallah, however, a believer asks this question. It is known these people are not mahram to one another. Cousins, they can marry one another. How can they play and touch one another? They're not married. I know an incident happened back in Africa, in Somalia. There was a woman, there was a house that a relative used to gather there. People who are related. And from them was cousins. So one of the Ahl Sunnah one time visited that house. And he saw a group of them sitting in a room. A woman is laying down, sleeping. And her cousin sitting on the same bed. So his back is on her stomach. And he faced the other people, they face and they're talking. This brother, he told him, this is haram, it's not allowed. What happened to you? Why are you so? They make fun of them, all of them. How you say this? These are cousins. Some people, they have this corrupt culture. And usually these people, their sheikhs are Sufiya. Their sheikhs are Sufiya. Those they consider to be sheikhs. And this sheikh is Ahlul Sunnah, this brother, who's from the relative? From that time, they kick him out from the house. They say this. After time, the man and the woman were kicked out from the house based on that they did haram. You understand, Mikhail? Based on that they did haram. They've been kicked out from the house. That has to happen. People who are foreigner, husband, a man and woman, na'am, there's desire, there's shaitan. Don't get close to. Prophet ﷺ said, لا يخلو رجل بامرأة إلا كان ثالثهما الشيطان. وكما قال عليه السلام, man never be with a woman alone, save shaitan is the third. Somebody tell you, no, his heart is pure, it's kadhab, he's a lion. Prophet ﷺ said that. So if people, they take these things easy and it ended up chaos after time if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. And of course in Islam, zina is not only, wal'iyadu billah, it's not only sexual intercourse, also it's looking, touching. All this, al-yadu tazni, al-aynani tazniyan, the hand make zina, the two eyes make zina. الحديث والفرج يصدقه ويكذبه. طيب, so there will be people who will see these things lawful. وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نشرب في آنية الذهب والفضة وأن نأكل فيها وعن لبس الحرير والديباج وأن نجلس عليه, رواه البخاري. نهى لحذيفة, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade us from eating and drinking from gold and silver vessels and from wearing or sitting upon silk or brocade, reported by Al-Bukhari. الديباج ما هو؟ أحسنت بارك الله في أبا والي, you always help me, جاك الله خير. So الديباج is a type of the silk, is the heavy one. The silk is two type, heavy one and light one. So in the hadith, Prophet he forbade alayhi salam the Muslims, both male and female, from drinking and eating and drinking from a gold and a silver vessels. These are a silver dish or any, you are not allowed to use it, or a gold, you are not allowed to use it. Now, yes, it shouldn't be mixed with gold or silver. Unless there is necessity, it will come to fix, to hold the vessel together, otherwise it break down and the like. But the origin is not allowed. As for putting the color of silver or gold, is not a problem. Sometimes they may make the color of the gold silver. That's not an issue. But the silver, the gold material to be in a vessel is not allowed. That's what the vessel. Vessel. Barakallahu fi. Jazakallahu khair. Vessel. Barakallahu fi. That English is from New York or from here. Everywhere. Barak. Yes. The who? Silver what? The silver cup. Yeah, cup or dish or any, it's not allowed to use it. Because he forbade. ماذا؟ الحديث نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نشرب في آنية الذهب والفضة. To eat or to drink. ماذا؟ Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade us from eating and drinking from gold and silver vessels. Oh, same. Vessels. Okay, Jazakallah khair. I need to take ESL, English as a second language. Yes, subhanallah. One time I left for a reason. I sometimes I say you should continue. Al-Muhim, Alhamdulillah. Wa'ani min Umar radiallahu ta'ala, also Prophet he forbade wa'an lubs al-hariri with dibaj and wearing and sitting upon silk or brocade. This is for both male or female or just for male. The silk is only for the male. It's allowed for the female. The silk cloth can be worn by women. Like the gold. Ahsanta, like the gold. Barakallahu fiik. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن لبس الحرير إلا موضع أصبعين أو ثلاث أو أربع, متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم. نهى عمر رضي الله عنه Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the wearing of silk except the space of two or three or four fingers. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the wearing of silk except the space of two or three or four fingers. Agree upon. And the wording is from Muslim. The wearing of silk clothing is forbidden for men. However, it's permissible for a man to wear at the most a garment that comprises a silken stripe, not measuring more than 5 to 10 centimeters. Likewise, it is permissible for a man to wear silk clothing if he either suffers from itching of the skin or he gets infested with lice, since the silk clothing benefits the one suffering from these conditions. that allow her to keep using them as a supportive measure until they get cured. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص لعبد الرحمن بن عوف والزبير في قميص الحرير في سفر من حكة كانت بهما. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص لعبد الرحمن بن عوف والزبير في قميص الحرير في سفر من حكة كانت بهما. متفق عليه. نارل أنس رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave permission to عبد الرحمن بن عوف and الزبير to wear silk during the journey because of an itching which they suffer from, So when there is this necessity, because of the situation of these two Sahabi, Prophet allowed them to wear the silk clothes because of the sickness. That's necessity. Alhamdulillah, in Allah's religion, Allah made it easy. So when you are in need of something which was not unlawful, you become in need of it. It's a necessity for you. Alhamdulillah, to you it's permissible. Let alone that, even if a Muslim, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, as they did to Ammar, the disbelievers, they enforce him to say, to praise an idol, otherwise they will kill him, they will torture him. He's allowed to praise just by the tongue, since they don't control the heart. Alhamdulillah. وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كساني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حلة سيراء فخرجت فيها فرأيت الغضب في وجهه فشققتها بين نسائي. متفق عليه, وهذا لفظ مسلم. نارل علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم presented me a silk suit for clothing. I went out wearing it, but on noticing anger on his face, I cut it up, meaning I divided it among the women of my household. Agree upon, and this is the word of Muslim. In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the Sahabi Ali this cloth from silks, and Ali radiallahu anhu, he wore it, thinking it's permissible. But he saw the Prophet ﷺ very angry. But on noticing anger on his face, ﷺ, so what he did, he divided it among the household of his, the woman of his household. Which means you can buy, as a male, you can buy silk, you can sell it, you can make money out of it, you can give it as a gift to a person. So, but you cannot wear it as male. You cannot wear it. So Ali radiallahu anhu thought the Prophet ﷺ, he gave him to wear it, to use it the way he wants. So he wore it. But that was not the reason. The reason was he can either sell or give it to his, to whoever he wants from the woman to use, from his family. وعن أبي موسى رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أحل الذهب والحرير لأناث أمتي وحرم على ذكور. رواه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي والصحابة. نار أبو موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, gold and silk are lawful for the female among my followers, but prohibited to the males. Reported by Ahmed al-Nasai and al-Tirmidhi who agree it's sahih, meaning authentic. This is very clear hadith. Prophet ﷺ said that the gold and silk, the gold and the harir, the silk cloth, is lawful for the woman, but not allowed for the male. وعن عمران بن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله يحب إذا أنعم على عبده نعمة أن يرى أثر نعمته عليه. رواه البيهقي. نارل عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when Allah guarantees his blessing to his servant, he loves to see the traces of his favor upon him. When Allah grants his blessing to his servant, he loves to see the traces of his favor upon him. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you his blessings, he give you health, he give you wealth, Allah likes to see that on you. You show thankfulness to Allah. And you use it, the blessing that Allah gives to you without extra vigor. You use it. Alhamdulillah. You thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah gave you health. You have to look a healthy person. Alhamdulillah. Someone asks you, Akha, how you do? And you're very healthy. And you say, I'm fine, I'm fine. La. Say in a strong way, Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. Yes. Allah gave you so much blessings. You have one shortcoming. You only counted that problem, that shortcoming. How are all these other blessings that Allah gave it to you? Allah gave you beautiful clothes. Use it, Alhamdulillah, without showing off or arrogance or pride. Use it, Alhamdulillah. Wallahi, Alhamdulillah. But not al-israf, no extravagance. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. I was for you, the blessing of your Lord, mention it. Mention it from that to spend into the cause of Allah, to help the needy. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for it. Alhamdulillah, how Allah al-Karim is generous, subhanallah. He gives you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessings, his favors, he grants you his favors. He wants to see that on you. إن الله يحب الأكلة إن الله يحب العبد يأكل الأكلة فيحمده عليه. Allah loves this. The slave eating, one eating, and thanking Allah on it. Allah loves that. You drink the water, whatever Allah make lawful to drink. You eat whatever Allah make lawful to eat, and then you say Alhamdulillah. That pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. Easy to please Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن لبس القصي والمعصفر رواه مسلم نهى عن لبس القصي نهى وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن لبس القصي والمعصفر رواه مسلم نارى علي رضي الله عنه الله messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade wearing of silk and clothes dyed with soft lower, a red dye, reported by Muslim. Prophet sallam, he forbade wearing of silk to the man and clothes dyed with soft lower, means a red dye. Soft lower, jazakallah, soft lower. Yes, Prophet ﷺ, he forbade silk and clothes dyed with safflower. It's a red dye, reported by Muslim. وعن عبد الله بن عمر بن عاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رأى علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى عليا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثوبين معصفرين. أيوة صحيح بارك الله فيك. It doesn't. نعم. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رأى علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثوبين معصفرين رأى علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثوبين معصفرين فقال أمك أمرتك بهذا رواه مسلم نار عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw me in two clothes tied in safflower, a red dye, whereupon he said, did your mother order you to do this? Did your mother order you to do this? Amr bin As, Abdullah bin Amr bin As, he was from the young Sahaba. So one day, Prophet ﷺ saw him wearing this cloth, a cloth which was dyed in safflower. Prophet ﷺ, he said, did your mother order you to do this? Means al-inkaru alayhi. Means you shouldn't wear it. وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنها أخرجت جبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكفوفة الجيب والكمين والفرجين بالديباج رواه أبو داود وأصله في مسلم وزاد كانت عند عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها حتى قبضت فقبضتها وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبسها فنحن نغسلها للمرضى نستشفي بها. وزاد البخاري في الأدب المفرد: وكان يلبسها للوفد والجمعة. ناري الأسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنها, she brought out the mental means overgarment of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with its collar, with its collar sleeves front and back hammered with brocade means silk. Abu Dawood reported this narration is daif, is la, not daif. Dibaj is basically an Arabized word. Diba is the original word which can be translated as a thick silken cloth. Yes. So yes. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Aisha, from Asma bint Abi Bakrin. Asma, she is the sister of who? Aisha radiallahu anha. That she said she brought out the mantle, means over garment of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with its collar, which is collar. Collar sleeve is front and back hammered with brocade, means with silk. Abu Dawood reported it. Its basic meaning is in Sahih Muslim. With the addition, it was with Aisha radiallahu anha till she died. Then I took possession of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear it, and we wash it for the sick seeking cure by means of it. And we wash it for the sick seeking cure by means of it. Al-Bukhari added in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he, the Prophet ﷺ, used to wear it on the visit of delegation and on Fridays. In this hadith, that when the this silk is being hauled or being kept together with the cloth, with the jacket and the like, especially in its corners, is permissible. Also that the Sahaba used to seek blessings, the traces of Prophet ﷺ, the clothes of the Prophet ﷺ, and the like. Therefore, this jacket or this cloth of the Prophet ﷺ, Sahaba used to wash it after the death of Prophet ﷺ for the sick people. نستسقي نستشفي بها, seeking شفاء, cure by it. Because Prophet Muhammad was Baraka alayhi salatu wasalam. And that also in the hadith, it is good to wear special clothes for the delegation and on Fridays. So it's not showing off. It is looking good to the delegation, to the guests, and also for Friday. Kitabul Janais. This is the book of funerals. This is the book of the third book. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا ذكر هذه من لذات الموت. رواه الترمذي والنسائي وصححه ابن حبان. نار أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, remember Allah, the cutter means the remover of delights, means death. The Prophet ﷺ said, remember Allah, the cutter, and the remover of delights, of sweets, which is the death, reported by At-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, Ibn Gharir Sahih, authentic. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ command us to remember the death a lot, not sometimes. أكثروا ذكر هادمي لذات. Remember and mention Allah, the cutter of sweets, delights, which is the death. The death cuts all the worldly sweets and delights. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded his ummah to mention it, to remember it a lot. The people of Nahr said, is because if someone remembers the death, what happened is he prepared for it. So he rectifies his affairs and he corrects his actions and he does the good. The more he remembers, the more he does better. The more the person forget about akhirah, forget about death, the more he is attached to the worldly things. Every day people die with different causes. People, we know them sometimes, younger than us, our age, older than us, some of them without sickness. Naam. None of them was expecting to die. He wasn't in a hospital. He was in his house, or left his house, or his office, or in the masjid. Imam leading salah says, Salamu alaykum. He faced the people. After seconds, he fell down. He died. The speaker coming in front of the people, talking. While he talking, he fell down. He died. They move him dead. A singer making music, jumping up and down. Shaitan moving him up and down. And then on the spot he died. Someone is sleeping. If you could have, we could have done anything to run from death. How can you run from sleeping? Someone is sleep and he died on death. We pray the janazah of those people, at least I remember four people. Their janazah we prayed. And the cause of their death was they sleep and they die. One of them was within months. Rahimahumullah. One of them I remember was young, 32-year-old, never married. Sleep, die. Rahimahullah. One of them was an old man. His son wanted to wake him up for work. Rahimahullah. And his mother told him, leave him alone. Leave him alone. The father is tired. Until he is longer. She came to him, joking with him, today you die. And she moved him, he really died. Somehow she fell down. This has happened. So everybody knows you can die any minute, any second. This is a reality. But somehow we live like we will not die. Therefore, it's legislated, rather is commanded to remember the death a lot, to visit the graves. Prophet said, قَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ أَلَا إِنِّي قَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُّرُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. I forbid you to visit the graves. Visit it. It reminds you the death. It reminds you the akhirah. So subhanAllah, someone in a second, his soul goes away from his body. He didn't write any will. He's not prepared for. Next thing, people feel him burdening the body to be there. The closest, his wife says, take him away. Why is he in the house? Take him away. Then who remembers him after that? The only thing he is there is his action. Where are the cars? Where are the house? Where are the degree? Where are the status? Where is the leadership? Where is so and so? Where is the enjoyment? After having a nice room, beautiful room, beautiful family, children, community, he's out of it in a dark place. Only himself and his action. So Prophet ﷺ, he commands us to remember the death. Some people, subhanAllah, they don't like even death to be mentioned in lectures. They say, don't scare us. They complain about that. Subhanallah. And some of the Salaf used to remember Allah after the death. Like Imam Layth Ibn Sa'd, rahimahullah, they mentioned that one night after Isha, he was making wudu, and his student was behind him, and the student fell down. In sleep, he sleep. And Adhan, that was after Isha, Fajr Adhan was made, he was sitting the Sheikh the same spot. And the student said, when he woke up, when he heard the Adhan, oh Sheikh, you still? Like last night, Isha, he said, yes, what happened? Say, I was thinking about Akhira and stages of Akhira, so I forget it. رحمه الله تعالى. So remembering the death reminded the person his reality and who he is. And it reminded him the reality of this worldly life. As Allah mentioned, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ is short, deceive enjoyment. It deceives people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good ending. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ